3, and we will begin at verse number 1. Someone I'm believing is going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Someone I believe is going to repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. Is that all right? Let's say amen. We're going to speak it. If you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, if your sins have not been washed away, that is the ultimate goal of every week in this church. That most importantly, the church of God, yes, we're fed, but that new souls say yes to Jesus. That is our goal. That is our desire. So open your heart to what God's going to speak to every one of us here this morning. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were, and what say, opened. And they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. I want to preach to everyone here this morning a message entitled, Honesty is the best policy. Honesty is the best policy. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is nothing, O God, above your matchless name. Once again, God, we're here another week, but we don't want another word, another sermon. We want impartation. We want revelation. We want to be transformed by the power of the Word of God. We don't want to just receive, oh God, and go on our way. We want to be changed by the power of the Word of God. We don't want to be the same, Lord Jesus. We want to be equipped. We want to be empowered. We want to be anointed. We want to leave this place knowing that there is something that was spoken in our spirits that changed us forevermore to walk in the freedom and the power of the love of our God. And with all the attacks and all the weights and all the distractions that would come, oh God, to destroy us and our faith, there is no greater need than we do need today than the revelation of your power of your word to come into our hearts, to come into our minds. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands as you are seated unto the Lord. I say it a lot because I have to say it. If you would get a hold of this word, it would change your life. You would never be the same again if you would apply the word of God. You'll reach out with your spirit, with your heart, and say, God, this word is for me. The word I'm preaching today, there is not one person that I'm not talking to. This is a global word. This word is for every individual here in this house. If you're human, this word is for you. Say, this word is for me. Genesis is a book of beginnings. It describes and outlines man's first in a lot of areas. It gives us insight to man's first struggles. It gives us insight to man's first encounters. It gives us insight to man's first victories. It gives insight to man's first defeat. Think about how awesome the book of Genesis is. So many people are trying right now to figure out the earth's origin. So many people are trying to figure out what is the beginning of man? What is the purpose of man? How are things the way they are? How does the sun rise every morning and set every day to usher in the night? How is everything in order? How is the earth tilted so perfectly on an axis that gives us a position with the moon and the sun in order for us to have our seasons? That scientists would tell you if the earth was any closer to the sun, we would all literally be burnt up. But if it was any further away from the sun, we would all be frozen to death. But on this great earth, there is life and there is breath and all the things, and they're trying to figure it all out and say there was a big bang. I tell you what the big bang was. In the beginning was God. And in the beginning the Lord said, let there be light. And there was light. And he put everything in existence. Everything is from the word of God. If we can evaluate and look at how things began, we can then use that information to tell us about our lives and how we can begin and how we can walk into the calling and the will of God for our life. If we have been given access to what the first people went through, then maybe it can help me in what I am going through. And better yet, not repeat their mistakes. Better yet, not repeat their problems. But to be able to read the word of God and allow the word of God to get revelation in my life and say there's some things that I absolutely can avoid. There's some pitfalls I don't have to fall into. There's some places I can overcome because I can take advantage of what I read in the word of God and use it to my advantage. So as we look at the word of God today, a lot of our problems we have are there because we are not honest people. We, every one of us, deceive ourselves. We talk ourselves into believing things that we should not be believing. We talk ourselves out of speaking truth about where we are and what we're facing and what we are struggling with and what we are dealing with. We look at sin that we are in. We look at strongholds that we are fighting, weaknesses that we have, and we aren't honest with ourselves and say, I have a problem. We may make a bad decision or choice, and then we don't want to be honest about how bad that decision or choice it was. Or am I the only one that has talked myself into some dumb decisions? Am I the only one that made some bad turns? Am I the only one that got mixed up in some bad relationships? Am I the only one that got caught up in some bad money schemes? Am I the only one that got mixed up with the wrong crowd? Am I preaching to anybody here today? I got to be honest and say that I need to stop lying to myself about the things that I am in and keep saying it's an okay decision. It's a stupid decision. Doing things that I knew was a bad decision. We made bad decisions because we weren't honest about the situation. and how it would really affect us and what the consequences would truly be. Because men and women, if we're honest, we are impulsive people. We do things without even thinking about the consequences that will come after. And we try to lie to ourselves, and we say out loud as we lie to ourselves, oh, I'll deal with it when I got to get to it. I'll deal with the consequences when they come. And you're lying to yourself. I'm lying to myself. If we were honest about the people that we've been in relationships with that went south, that could have been avoided if we were honest about that person that we were with. And I know the majority of us would like if I go that direction, but that's a whole other message. I'm going to talk to you today. I'm not going to talk about the person that you want to talk bad about. I'm going to talk to the person that's in the mirror and point that person in the face and say, you made some bad choices. You made some bad decisions. You were not honest with yourself. You lied to yourself about what the consequences would be, about what you have done. We've got to be honest. Now, let me say this, God. He is an omniscient God, and we know that to mean that he is an all-knowing God. There's nothing that God cannot see. There's nothing that God does not understand or comprehend. There is nothing that causes God to wonder, where in the world did that thing come from? Nothing is secret. Nothing is hidden before God. He is not surprised or caught off guard by anything that goes on whatsoever in our life. There is nothing hid from God Almighty. But with that being said, that's exactly what Adam and Eve did. Their intention was to hide from God. Their intention was to do whatever they could to cover themselves from being exposed. You say exposed from what? Exposed from the truth. From the moment they sinned, their first reaction wasn't, wow, that was some good tasting fruit. It really was some good food indeed. And a lot of people say yummy. They didn't say that was yummy. It wasn't. It sure tastes as good as it looked. They didn't say, wow, this really did make us wise as the gods. I wonder why God didn't want us to eat this fruit. I'm wiser than even Solomon, and he hasn't even been born yet. They recognize the first thing that happened to them, that they were uncovered. They saw themselves as naked. Now stay with me here. The reality is they were already naked. They were already previously uncovered. But as a result of their disobedience, they found some things about themselves that made them very uncomfortable and ashamed, if you will. Because when you begin to walk a disobedient life, you will look at yourself in a different form and fashion, and you will find yourself seeing things inside of you you never even recognized before. When you begin to walk disobedient to the plan and the will of God, you will open up things about yourself that you want to hide and things you want to be shameful about. When you are disobedient to God's word, you will find things about yourself that will cause shame to enter in. You will find out that when you disobey God and commit sin, it will reveal things about yourself that you are not going to like out in the wide open. When you disobey God, things that were kept innocent get turned into something shameful. Before sin entered, they were naked and it didn't register shame the way it registered shame after sin, because they were, I'm going to put it this way, they were covered by God. in their innocence and in their obedience, they are covered by God. Can I tell you, so long as you stay under the word of God, you are covered by God, and your shame would not have to be exposed. I'm going to get preaching. You just stay with me here for a moment. Because they were pure, and they were in a position untainted by sin in creation, and they were able to be completely open and exposed before God with no shame. They were naked and they didn't know it. They were able to go before the presence of God in the cool of the day and spend time with him, not realizing they were covered. Oh, let me talk to you here today. Man was able to go in the floor of the presence of God, and they were able to ask him whatever they wanted to know. They were able to be in his presence, and they were being there. I can imagine they asked God questions like, can you tell me what you're like, God? Can you tell me about life? Can you tell me about the stars and the trees and the creative things and all the things that you made? In fact, I'm sure Adam said, can you tell me a little bit about this woman named Eve? Because I can't figure her out. And they had no shame on going boldly before God and speaking to God about anything that came in on their mind. Because when you're covered by God, there is no shame of being in his presence. When you're covered by God, there is no shame on wanting to be near to him. Because when you can be open and naked before God and have everything exposed, because you know you are covered by God and you know you are loved by God, and you can be intimate with God with no shame. There's nothing that you have to worry about because you know who you are. You're secure in God. Is it too far-fetched to imagine that they asked things about God? They never felt intimidated by God. They never felt, oh, in the presence of God, fearful by God. No, that wasn't their mentality. They never felt like they could ask God anything and God would be upset with them. They had that kind of walk with him at that time. They had free access and full access with him, with no thoughts of ever feeling uncomfortable or accepted in his presence. They were able to present themselves before God with a clear conscience, because when your conscience is clear before God, there's nothing you have to be ashamed about, and you can ask God whatever you will. It wasn't until sin moved in. And when sin moves in, it distorts everything. When sin moves in, it changes everything. It's when they enter a place of consciousness because they partook of something they should never should have partaken of. And then when you take of things you should never take of, shame automatically moves in. It's automatic. And from there, they recognize they had things in the open that now made them uncomfortable. Now, all of a sudden, they wanted to be hid. Now, all of a sudden, they wanted to be covered up. Now, you don't want to be honest. Now, you don't want to be open. Now, all of a sudden, you don't want to keep it real. Now, all of a sudden, the first thing you do is your eyes are opened. And they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Aprons is the word that King James Version uses. They put something over them to cover who they really were. I hope you hear me here this morning. And we all, like them, have put on aprons. We all have things that we placed in front of us in an attempt to block out our shame. Can I get an amen? We all have things that we use to block out our mistakes, block out the bad decisions we made, block out who we really are and what we really are. We all have aprons on that we hope is giving us some sense of security from the scrutinizing eyes of those around us. Because if they see me as exposed and naked, they will see my problems. They will see my shame. They will see my mistakes. They will see my bad decisions. I don't want you to see my hurt. I don't want you to see my pain. I don't want you to see my issues, and so I'll try to cover them up. I need some sense of decency in the middle of my shame. But what I find interesting is, look around, Adam. Look around, Eve. There ain't nobody here but you. Why are you ashamed? There ain't nobody looking at you. I'll tell you why. Because when you walk in a place of sin, it does not need somebody to look at you. You don't need anybody to tell you how messed up you are. That's why in the house of God, we ain't here to judge nobody. We ain't here to point a finger at nobody. You already know that you messed up. You already know you got a whole bunch of issues in your life. You already know that you can't even stand by yourself. If you're honest, you know you're weak. If you're honest, you know you don't have it all together. You don't need nobody to point it out. You already know you got some things that are messed up. I wish somebody would preach with me. You already know you keep on making the same bad decision. You already know you keep going back to the same old sin. That's why I'm shameful. I don't need you even to see me in my shame to know that I got shame. I know I'm tore up. I know I'm busted and disgusted. I already see the shame in myself. And I just can't keep myself like this. Honestly, being open like this only proves my guilt. Being exposed this way is only showing everybody and highlighting how bad it is for me. How bad my mind is. How inconsistent I am. How sinful of a man or a woman I am. When you look at me, you will see guilt. When you look at me, you will see weaknesses. And being open like this is highlighting my weaknesses, highlighting and showcasing my wrongdoing. I need to do something to cover, to mask, to hide, to shield what's really going on inside of me. Maybe if I sew or put on fig leaves, maybe I won't be noticed. Maybe if I sew on a apron of anger, it will keep people from getting too close to me. If I exemplify anger and people will know I have an angry spirit and they don't want to get close to me, good, then they won't see my weakness. And I will use my anger as a front to show you how cowardly I really am. I'm preaching the word of God. Maybe if I act so emotional and act like an up and down roller coaster, people won't get close to me. But it's because of what I'm hiding on the inside. Maybe if I work a lot of hours, I won't have to stop to consider all the problems I got going on around me. I'll put an apron of work on, because if I keep on working, it will hide the true reality of me not being able to sit down and realize how tore up I am. Oh, I wish I'm talking to somebody here. I got distractions in my life that I put there because it's an apron. I don't want to deal with what's really going on the inside of me. And so I can't keep still. I can't slow down because it places me in a very vulnerable position. And I can't slow down. I have to sew aprons of poverty so that no one will expect much from me. They know how broke I am. They know how long I've been in this position. And so I'm hiding behind poverty so you won't have too much expectations of me. I know I've got talents. I got gifts. I got abilities. But I'll hide behind poverty as an excuse to give my best effort. But I pray before the service is over, God go reveal some stuff and cause us to be truthful and motivate us to be all that he wants us to be.
maybe if I show aprons of money, then maybe it will hide how insecure I am. I gotta look a certain way. I gotta dress a certain way. I gotta put on this form so that when you see me coming, you see my outward appearance, but you don't see how messed up I'm in my mind, how lonely I am, how frustrated I am. And so if I can give you money or act like I got a whole bunch of dollars, it will ignore the fact of what's really on the inside of me. We have sewn aprons of addictions. Can I tell you right now, I deal with those that are strung out by alcohol and strung out by all kind of addictions, whether it's pornography or immorality or any type of sin. I tell you what they're doing. They're hiding behind. It's not the drug. It ain't the alcohol. It's what's behind it. It's themselves. And so maybe I can get high to hide. Maybe, oh, you ain't hear me. Hey, maybe I can get drunk to hide. But the reality is really there. It's not the addiction of alcohol, drugs, nicotine, immorality, gossip, selfishness, or any other continual sin. That's a problem. It's the things that we're hiding behind. I'm not confused by your addiction. There's something deeper going on in you. I'm not intimidated by what you're strung out on. There is something deeper that you haven't dealt with yet. But can I tell somebody, God says, it's all right to be honest. I'm going to reach in exactly where you are, and I'm going to pull some stuff out where you go be naked and you ain't going to be ashamed no more. Hey, somebody, can I direct you to a woman who was not even identified by name? She was just called the woman at the well. Because the woman at the well had no name, I can be identified with her. I can be labeled alongside of her. And we find out that she goes to get water at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Can I tell you, they are in Israel. That's a desert. One of the worst times in my life is when I lived in Redding, California, and for 2 to 3 solid weeks straight, it was 112, 114, 115 degrees of high heat. I mean, that's the dumbest time to get water. But that's the exact time she felt necessary to go get water, because I hope she liked warm water. But it did not matter how dumb it was. She wasn't honest with herself. She wouldn't say how stupid it is to go and try to refresh myself with something that ain't going to be refreshing. Can I tell you, you're trying to refresh yourself with stuff that ain't going to refresh you, because you are in hiding, and you keep on doing what you're doing, and you keep on watching what you're watching, and to keep on living the way you're living, because you are trying to hide the purposes. That's right, Pastor. I'm hiding. I can't go to the well when everyone else is at the well, because when I get to the well, I feel shame inside of me. It ain't their fault you're shameful. It's your own fault. But you don't want to be honest. You don't want to keep it real. You want to find a reason to escape and stay away from what's really going on in your life. And so it served a purpose, and you were okay with living among the well at the hottest part of the day. Now going back to the scripture in Genesis 3 and 8, and they heard a voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the garden of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. But I find it very interesting that it says, again, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Wait a minute, you two. You just said that you sewed fig leaves because you're naked. So why do you feel it's still necessary to hide from the voice of God? If what you're doing is working so good, Why are you even ashamed? If what you're doing is going all right, then why are you hiding among the trees? Why are you feeling that way? I mean, you yourself, you're doing it your own way, aren't you? Your will's being done above God. What's the problem? What's the issue? You're sowing the leaves on. You're doing things according to what you feel is right. You're doing what's right in your eyes. So why are you so guilty? Why are you so shameful then? Why are you still hiding? The reality is you put your own apron on. You covered yourself. You did it your own way. But the truth of the matter is, if you're honest, your way and your efforts and the things you're hiding behind are not sufficient. And that's why you still have to go behind the trees, don't you? If you're honest with yourself. The King James Version says aprons, but what they sewed on really was not an apron as we think of it, you know, a long apron, like we see somebody in the kitchen. What they were wearing was more like a belt. You might think it's an apron, it's a belt. What you're doing ain't working. But more than me knowing it, you know it yourself. And you're saying, this ain't enough in the presence of God. I still feel so inadequate. Oh, I feel that what I'm still wearing is still not appropriate. A leaf belt is not the most modest thing to wear. The point I'm making is, no matter how much we all try to fake, front, hide, mask, cover, whatever we know is deep inside of us, is not enough for us to feel totally secure in ourselves. We still feel it with all the efforts we tried to do, all the efforts we made to hide, it's still not enough. We still feel the need to hide even more. So what is his mindset? We repeat it. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Afraid of being exposed in this state, exposed to what I've become. Afraid because I'm seeing things in me that I'm ashamed of being out in the open. Afraid because I see things in me I never noticed before. Afraid because the realization I have concerning myself is not something I want anybody or even myself looking at. Afraid because who I've become just doesn't feel right. What I am now is not really what I am. Doesn't feel right. But the question, the first question God ever asked, ever, was a question that actually had the answer to what the first step is to our being free from the shame that we have. His question can be a question that brings release and breakthrough in conquering any of our shame if we would recognize what he said. The first question that God ever asked is the first step to humanity being delivered from feeling the need to hide, to cover, and to mask. You see, it's not God's will that any of us have to hide or mask anything at all, because for so long we've been hidden behind trees, but you can't hide forever. And you know it. You can't hide your struggles forever. You can't hide your insecurities forever. You can't hide your fears forever. The reality is you still feel naked. You still feel insecure. And the reality, what we're doing is not enough. We need to be honest before God. God indicates the process of being made right when he poses this question. Where are you? God is saying, come on, take inventory of your current location. I know where you are. I'm God Almighty. But have you considered yourself the direction you are facing? Have you considered yourself where this thing is going to lead you to? The Lord is saying, are you satisfied with where you are? Are you in the right place where you want to be? Come on, Adam, be honest with me. Be real with me. The question I'm giving you is a question of self-evaluation. I'm giving you something to consider, Adam. Keep it real with me, Adam. Honesty is the best policy, Adam. Don't hide, Adam. Be honest before me, Adam. Come on, the Lord was saying, if you're honest, I still can help you. Just come honest before me. Don't live in a place of hiding with me. The prodigal son had an apron on. He lived how he wanted to live. He did exactly what he wanted to do. He wasn't going to listen to his father anymore or anyone else for that matter. And the question of honesty finally came to himself. He said to himself, he said, self, look where you are. Look at yourself. You're in a pig pen and you're starving. And look how long you've been here, but you refuse to be honest with yourself. And there's so many people that are living in pig pens of your life because you don't want to be honest and see how low you really have gotten. You don't want to keep it real. You want to mask and fake how far you walked away from God, and you're sitting there and you're learning and you're wanting to even eat of even what the pigs are eating. You're longing for the wrong things because you sold yourself so short because you refuse to be honest with yourself. But when he came to himself, he said, I need to stand up. I need to be honest. This is not my place. I need to rise up and be honest. This is not my destiny. I need to rise up and be honest. And I got a father who has even hired servants that are doing better than I am. You know what? He began to realize, I know I messed up. I know I have shame. I'm going to be honest, but I know where to go. I can still go back to my father's house. Come on, when you wake up, you don't have to wake up and fear that God will throw you away. No, God woke you up to draw you. Come on, Adam, where are you? I'm calling you back to a restored relationship with me. Be honest. We'll get you on the right path to your father. When you're honest, give the right road to redemption and to restoration here this morning. Going back to the woman at the well, Jesus got there, and the first thing he said, disciples, I know we gained momentum. Disciples, I know we're baptizing even more than John the Baptist, but there's something inside of me. I need to go to Samaria. I hear the voice of God saying, I need to go down to Lighthouse Church of Independence. I know there's some people there. They're living in a place I never intended them to live. They're living below their means. I got greatness for them. I got power for them. I got a future for them, but they don't see it themselves. All they can see is their past. All they can see is their mistake. And so instead of coming and drinking of the water freely, they're living in hiding. Instead of getting more anointing, they're shameful, and they won't give the very best because they don't think that I will receive them. And so I'm sorry, disciples, I gotta go to Samaria. I'm sorry, disciples, there's somebody I gotta talk to. I'm sorry to waste your time, but there's somebody I'm gonna raise up. There's somebody I'm gonna restore. There's somebody I'm gonna heal. There's somebody I'm gonna change. So he got there, and to make a long story short, he says, I'm about to give you some water, and the water I give to you, you will never thirst again. And of course, that sounded great to her, because if I don't have to get water no more, I don't have to worry about my shame no more. He says, you ain't even getting what I'm saying. And so, go get your husband. Go be honest with yourself. You ain't getting your deliverance until you come clean. You ain't getting the miracle until you be honest with what you need from God. And so she tries to dance around it. I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, of a truth, you've now spoke some truth. The way you're living ain't right, but I didn't come to judge you. In fact, I know you've already had five husbands. What is God saying? I came to Samaria already knowing your past. You better hear what I'm saying. I'm coming to where you are, knowing your guilt. I'm not surprised by it. I know your shame. I know your past. I know your mistake. I already have revelation of where you've been, what you've done, how you messed up, how you cheated, how you lied, how you done things that dishonored yourself. I already know it. But I need you to be honest. Where is your husband? You have had five husbands, and the one you're with now is not even your husband. And that's why you're here. And look at me. I still showed up knowing all that information. What is Pastor Barlow saying? Stop hiding from God. He already knows, and he wants to help you. He wants to lift you up. He wants to turn you around. And guess what? That's so awesome, because a greater love that there is not that you love me because how good I am to you. That ain't love. Love is while you know how dirty I am and you still love me. That's love. You know what the Lord is doing right now? I know where you've been. I know how messed up you are. I know how sloppy you do stuff. And yet I still love you. I know how you backbite. I know how you cheat. I know how you lie. I still call you. I'm still drawing you. There ain't nobody here that's too far away from the love of God. There ain't nobody here that's done too much to where God can't forgive you. There ain't nobody here at the blood of Jesus can't turn you around. I don't care where you've been, what you've done, he still loves you. Young lady, I just want you to be honest. Can you be honest enough about your nakedness? Can you be honest enough to feel your need for me rather than just hiding? I don't want you to hide in your nakedness. I want you to see how much you need me in your nakedness. The tragic misunderstanding about God is people confuse Christianity and rules and regulations with the love of God. I want to tell somebody, our walk with God is not based on our relationship with other people or how they view us. Our walk with God is not based on my outward appearance, though I believe we should be separate. My love for God and his love for me is unconditional. I'm not trying to earn the love of God. I'm not trying to deserve it. I cannot earn the love of God. I can't earn the love and the grace of God. I receive it. God is trying to get us to a place where you can come naked and honest and still know I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. God's trying to say to somebody, you can be like David and be confronted by your sin and say, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in me. You know what David understood that Saul didn't understand? That the grace and the mercy of God is always ready to be given to somebody who will be honest. I'm not going to deny it. I'm an adulteress. I'm a murderer. But I know the blood of Jesus. But I know the grace of God. Now watch what happens as I wrap it up here. Once she became open and once she became honest, guess what did not happen that she's used to it happening? The Lord God didn't walk away from her. That when she came open and clean, it wasn't like God got a revelation and said, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were holy. My mistake. I thought you had it all together. But now I know who you are. I have to allow you to leave my presence. No, she didn't see that. She saw a loving Savior that didn't blink an eye when she brought her worst. And guess what? When she finally got that revelation, she went to the city. Wait a minute. You've been avoiding the city. Wait a minute. You've always been in hiding. Wait a minute. You always came at 3:00. But now it didn't matter. I got true love that no matter how dirty I am, I'm received. So I got to tell the world about it. I got to share the love of God. And where she was once shameful and hiding, she went to her whole city. That's what the love of God will do inside of you. It'll change your outlook. Before you're hiding, but now you're bold. Now you're shouting the rooftop. Why? You got it all together. No, exactly opposite. While I don't have it together, I'm loved of my Father. While I'm you ain't hearing me. While I'm still trying to work it out, I'm still favored and loved by God. I don't have it all together, and yet He loves me. I don't have it all fixed, and yet He loves me. I got to worship God for that. I gotta praise God for that. He told me ever that I did, and she's shouting about it. Last week you were quiet about it. Last week you were ashamed about it. And now you're shouting, He knows everything that I did. Shouldn't you be ashamed? Shouldn't you be sick? Shouldn't you be hiding behind a rock somewhere? No, because in that place, I thought He wouldn't love me. I found out He still loves me. He still loves me. He still loves me. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? You are loved of God. Get the revelation and be honest. Last thing, the son came back to his father. He was honest. Father, say it. Say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And this is how we talk. I'm no more worthy, right? We keep putting ourselves bigger than God. I'm not worthy, God. So I'm going to tell you, God, what to do with me because this is how I feel about myself. God, I'm just going to be a hired servant. I disqualify myself from being a full-fledged son. You know, I know you accept me, but you can accept me how I used to be. Let me just come back as a lower person. Let me just kind of be in the church and kind of I'll show up faithfully, but God, I don't need to be a son. I'm not worthy to be in ministry. I'm not worthy to preach. I'm not worthy to reach out. I just want to come and just kind of hide still. I want to make a step, God, but you, God, you don't have to call me son. You don't have to bless me. You don't have to do nothing extra. I deserve every bit of it. I don't have to come to an altar and get a breakthrough because I don't deserve it. Just make me a hired servant. The father said to his servants, I'm so amazed by the first thing he said. The first thing he said was not, what took you so long? Why you wait so long? Why you waste all my money? Why you waste all my time? Why are you such a bad son? Why can't you be like your brother? The very first thing he says, and there is so much power in this statement, the first thing he said was to his servants, bring him a robe. Bring me something that's going to cover his shame. I don't need him to cover his shame. I want my robe of righteousness. Can I tell somebody, you're not a hired servant. When you come back with a repentant, honest heart before God, he says, I will clothe you with the robe of righteousness. I want everybody to know that my son was lost, but now he's found. I want you to stand on your feet here this morning, and I want you to raise your hand, and we're going to open up these altars for everybody here in a moment, but I need you to understand, honesty is the best policy. Be honest with where you are. Be honest with your shortcomings, but when you do, recognize the next step is to come home, because your father has a robe of righteousness waiting for you. The Lord God gave us a picture of how a father is. In Genesis 3:21, and Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins, and he clothed them.
The more I seek you.
Where are you, Adam? I know you're hiding. I know you're shameful. But I'm going to cover you.
The more I find
you. I'm going to cover your guilt. I'm going to cover your shame.
The more I love you.
Stop hiding from God. Stop pretending everything is all right. Stop lying to yourself about the road you're going. You're going down a wrong road. But Jesus is calling you. He's saying to you, where are you? So when you're honest that you're not in the right place, you can come honest before God again. He has a robe waiting for you. Is there anybody here this morning that's tired of hiding? Is there anyone here that wants to be open before God and to be able to approach him with all your mess and still be okay? You can approach God with your mess. Aren't you wanting that relationship back with him? And Satan's lying to you and saying you're not ready yet. You'll never be ready. You got to just know that the robe of righteousness is ready for you. Elijah, come out of your cave. I still got some people I need you to anoint. Man of God, woman of God, saint of God this morning. Where are you? Where are you? Be honest and then let God, in your honesty, see your nakedness, see your shame, and say, I'm going to cover you now. I want to open these altars to the entire body of Christ. I want you to come down on these altars right now. And I want you to tell God, here I am. Here I am, oh God. Come on, church family, move in these aisles. And be honest with yourself. We got areas of need, but God in his great mercy and his love is going to help us. God's going to be with us. God wants to cover somebody. God wants to draw somebody back to a place where you can do the anointing work of God again. that you can believe that God has called you to be a son of God, a servant no more, but somebody that can be used for his kingdom. I'm going to be honest, God, but I serve a good God. I serve a gracious God. I said, open yourself. Be honest about some flaws you got going on. Be honest about some mistakes you have. But realize he's going to cleanse you.
Feel your heart.
He knows your shame.
This love,
he knows your mistakes. Oh, but he wants to cleanse you today.